interested in trying to do Bible Explorer into a mic, but for those of you that are listening on the CD, bear with us because it doesn't lend itself very well to staying in one place. But there we go. It's great to see so many of you here. Thank you for coming. And I guess, are you enjoying the conference?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. It's just great, is it, to be with so many like-minded people who have a passion for teaching the Bible to children and young people. And I guess that's why you're here this afternoon. Your particular interest in trying to bring the Bible to life and just open it up for the children in primary schools, which is what Bible Explorer is all about. I'll just very, very quickly introduce myself and the others who are here to help me this afternoon. My name's Ruth, and I've been teaching Bible Explorer in primary schools for about 10 years now. And it's part of my youth and children's work for my church and the trust that I work for. But I also work part-time for Walk Through the Bible. Some of you may have heard of that. And Bible Explorer is their school's ministry in primary schools. And this is my third year at Hylees. And when I booked back in about November time, whenever it is, so I don't think I'll get the bar of chocolate, but there we go. I thought I'd be doing the normal thing of just relaxing and soaking up the wonderful Bible teaching that we get here, getting some wonderful advice from the experienced youth workers at the seminars and things like that. But now I find myself standing up here instead. And that's thanks to Alison, because I don't know if any of you realise, but she was actually one of the very first Bible Explorer presenters in this country in 1994. Alison, if you don't know, is the lady that organises this wonderful conference. And she thought it'd be a good idea to give people a chance to find out what Bible Explorer is about while we're here. Fantastic, I thought, until I realised that the director of Walkthrough, who normally does this sort of thing, is in Ecuador this week, so he can't do it. So I'm afraid you've got me. Not the experienced, all-knowing youth worker that some people are, not worldly-wise, but like yourselves, I do have a passion to make sure that the Bible is taught in schools in a fun, interactive way that the children can really engage with and just want, at the end of it, to go home and find out more about it. So that's what we're doing here. As I said, I've also, thankfully, for my sanity and for yours, have got three wonderful helpers with me this afternoon. We have Mark Tomlinson, who's here at the conference anyway. Thank you, Mark. And then very kindly, Mark Pape and Ruth Strickland have travelled down from Billericay to be here just for this. So thank you very much, guys. There we go. And what we want to do this afternoon, as I said, is just give you a brief glimpse of what Bible Explorer is, show you some of the techniques that we use for storytelling and bringing the Bible to life, and just tell you a little bit about the amazing effect that bringing the Bible, making it fun for children, what it can have in primary school. So I hope you're not expecting to sit still this afternoon. But let me start by asking you a question. What do you think do all these people on the screen here have in common? Bit of a clue in the next picture. They all went to school at one point, which is why I think school's work is so important. I think you probably agree with that, won't you? And it's even more important to make sure that RE is being taught in a lively and relevant way. I don't know about you, but I'll just tell you some facts for you. Did you know that 4% of children will attend a church-based event just once in their entire lifetime? However, 98% of children will be in school on a Monday morning. Isn't that why schools work is so important? That's where they're at, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was at school, that was my typical reaction to an RE lesson. Yeah, and do you think it's got any better generally? Are many RE lessons really exciting? Do many people who have to teach it in primary schools really want to teach it? Not really, no. But you can imagine it, can't you, if a child like him has been told he's going to be taught RE for an hour and it's all about the Bible. You can just imagine it, can't you? They're going to come shuffling into the hall. And they do. If you're going to school for the first time, you can see it. It's like, oh, no. Hour, what we could do for an hour on the Bible, and it's, oh no. And I actually play on that when I start in the schools. I have this big Bible that I go in there, and once I've been introduced, I stand there and I just say, oh, thank you, Jordan for inviting me here this afternoon to talk about the Bible. You know, the Bible's really interesting. It's got 779,692 words, 1,118 chapters, 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And it takes 72 hours to read from cover to cover if you don't stop for food or toilet breaks. And you can see him going, oh, no, this is going to be... But then just change and just start telling them about the fantastic stories that there are in the Bible. And actually, I can guarantee, and every presenter will agree with me, but that by the end of the first lesson, if you tell them that they're going to be taught the Bible again in that way, they're more like that than the first picture. And that's what we want to see, isn't it? Children having that reaction to being thinking, ah, going to learn about the Bible. Yeah, great. Okay. So what does a Bible Explore lesson then actually look like? How can you tell these stories in an amazing way? Well, before I explain to you how we put the timeline together, we teach the stories in chronological order so that the children can see what comes before the story they're talking about, what comes after, can just piece it together. Before I show you how we do that, I'm just going to get Mark Pape, that's all right, to tell us his story that's going to teach us this afternoon. Thank you, Mark.
Volunteer. Okay. story back in our second lesson where we hear about Moses who crossed the river and the waters parted. And in a similar way, God did something again, caused them to be able to cross freely without any problem. So well done, guys. You crossed over well. Well, the big wooden gates of the city of Jericho were shut tight. The people inside were afraid. Outside, the soldiers of Israel marched around the walls. And this is what I want you guys to do. I want you to march around Jericho. Jericho, be off. You're kind of most scared faces on. Excellent, okay.
That's fine. It's fine.
Mine, the person's fine.
You've
got a little face. I'm going to follow them. They didn't talk. They didn't shout. In front, the men with the trumpets. Where are the men with the trumpets? You've all got trumpets. Okay. Every day, for 6 days, the soldiers marched around the walls, once around the walls. They didn't talk, they didn't shout. Every day, for 6 days, the men with the trumpets went in front. So men with the trumpets, I want you to blow the trumpets. Seven times around. They walked around the walls. And around the walls. Seven times around the walls. You might want to do it quicker because that's only number one. There we go. They ran around the walls.
Three.
Okay, two. This is great. Third time.
Getting dizzy.
Fast forward the scene.
Four. Yeah. Should we make some commentary for the recording? Okay, where are we at? We're at five. Okay. So, on the seventh time, remember the trumpets.
That's why you.
And everyone else, I want you just to shout really loud. We're at number five. Number six now. I'll tell you when. Some of you are shouting to me, blowing trumpets. I'll tell you when. 3, 2, 1, go! Raise your hand. The men of the trumpets lifted them high and blew, and the soldiers all shouted, "God has given us the city," Joshua cried. Then the walls began to shake, the walls began to crack, and the walls began to crumble. And with a great crash, the walls fell down. God has given them the city. A bit of excellent, great. You can keep your trumpets until the end. So we had our sign for Joshua. Can everyone remember what that was? Great. Okay. And we had the Jordan River. So we just literally we'll do that because they crossed the Jordan River. So follow me, just with the hand there. And then Jericho fell. So we'll do those really, really quickly. Is that okay? So Joshua, Jordan. City fell splat.
So you see, that's just one example of how we bring the Bible stories to life. And don't you think that helps them to remember it that bit better? And think, oh wow, wouldn't that be good to go home and read about that in the Bible and things like that. And it's just lots and lots of different storytelling techniques like that. As Mark just mentioned, and he showed you, there are some hand signs which helps not only to remember the stories, but also for them to remember the timeline that they go in, because we have time brackets in there as well. And he just showed you Joshua, Jordan, Jericho. But so, for example, if we're going from the very start, what's the first thing? Creation. Yeah, I'm explaining to children that it didn't just make us and this little world, but it made everything, so it's a huge circle. So it's creation, and then fall with Adam and Eve, and then we tell the story of Noah and the flood, and then it becomes the flood. And then we tell the story of how the nations came into being, the Tower of Babel, and we explain that as we say nations. Okay, do you want to try those with us? Creation, fall, flood, nations. And of course you've told each of these stories in different ways and all sorts of things. There's all sorts of ways that you can tell stories. You can show it. We use puppets, visual aids, props, like the ark there, objects and actual artifacts. I have a sling that I use when I tell the story of David. It actually comes from Israel. Some people use magic tricks. I do one in the New Testament, make loads and loads of loaves and fishes appear when it looks like there's only a couple. PowerPoints, obviously. Video clips that you can use that are copyrighted and we're allowed to use. Games. Some people do games for the creation. They get the children to stand up and think of an object they think God created and then ask questions, and if it's that object, they sit down and things. All sorts of ways you can do it. You can tell it. Mark just read it beautifully, just out of the Bible, and getting the children to act it out. You can just use different voices, act the part yourself in different voices, and be more than one character. You can do impressions, different things. Some people like singing, not my thing, but if you're good at it, it could work. Rap, that's pretty good, and you get the children to tap out a beat while saying a poem and rap to it. Sound effects, that's quite a good one. You tell the story of Noah with very good sound effects, that's cool. You can do them live or you can record them. And you can do stories in the first person as if you're that character. Or you might be an animal who might have been there. Now, some people tell the birth of Jesus as if they're there in the stable as a donkey, don't they? Okay? Or even an object. Not tried that one first, but it could work. You can act it out, which we quite often do ourselves as presenters. And we also, as you've just seen, get the children to do an awful lot of acting, because that's how they help to remember it. You can get them to actually read, either off bits of paper or what's probably preferable is off the screen, and actually say the lines themselves as well, so they're making a sketch out of it. You can do mime. I have a recording of the story of Daniel that I just play, so it's not my voice, but the children act out to it, and that's really good. You can do a monologue as a character, and all sorts of things. Or you could just read it. I'll tell you a little bit later about one particular point that I definitely always read. They can read it. You can do interactive reading, where it's on the board, or you read a line and they know what line they've got to repeat to you back each time. Responsive reading, similar thing. Poetry and rhyme, they might read the rap or they might read a poem. Ancient scrolls, or imagine you're talking about some of the messages that were sent. You could imagine that it's sent by email these days, and use different Bibles as well, and show them different Bibles so they know that, you know, there's not just one little old dusty black one that you have to read. There can be nice picture Bibles and things like that. So that's just some of the techniques we use, and we'll hopefully see some more of those later on. Okay. But, as I said, there's the signs, and after the fall, of course, the Bible then focuses in on a very specific family. And it goes through a lot of geography. And they travel round and it mentions all sorts of places. So one thing we teach the children is the geography of the Bible as well. And that's one of the pictures we used to show Jericho. And I was just wondering at this point, how good is your Bible geography? Shall we have a go? Okay. Now, normally, when you talk about geography, we'd have a nice map on there, wouldn't we? Okay. But I've got my map rolled up here, and I'm just going to pick it up. And I'm actually going to pull my map right across the floor, okay? So you might want to pick your feet up, because I need to use it again, and I don't really want it getting dirty. There we go. So I'm going to push it to the edges so it covers the whole of the room. So now our map is this room. So if that's north, what's down there? What's over there? Right, obviously the children repeat that, but you're fine. Okay. Okay. And when they focus in on this one little family, where are they? After the world events and the creation of all nations, who does it focus in on? Salt, it does, which is really handy, you know, because this little family that you would put the children about, but we're not going to, have got four people in that we're thinking about, and they are called Sarah, Abraham, Lot, and Terra, S-A-L-T, salt, okay? And this little family told by God, and we tell the story of how Abraham's called and told to go, but then we trace it. So we came up with the geography, they follow the course of two rivers, which are a long way out to the east, probably so far. And in a place here called, someone dies, called Haran. Okay, someone dies. But they carry on going, and we talk about Terah dying. And then they come to this land that God's promised them. Okay, I'm just going to think about the things that are in there. At the top of this land, this promised land, is a sea that if you fly over it, looks a circular shape. And it's called the... nothing will can live in it, so it's called the Dead Sea. Okay. And now I just want to There we go. Okay. Okay. Right, okay, so should we go those again? Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea, Mediterranean. So they know where these places are. And as Mark said, once you've laid that out, you can tell them that Jericho was like roughly in the middle of this promised land, Israel. They know where you are. And when you're crossing the Jordan, you can tell them that you're going over here as you walk around. So it's put it into place for them and they know where it is. And when you get to the New Testament, you add more places because you need to tell them that the capital of Judah at the time. Yeah. in the Bible that we're doing Bible Explorer, I sit there and I look at it in the building where it would be, and you can just see some people smiling, oh, she's off again. And but it helps because you just think, oh, yeah, no, yeah, just like the timeline. So there we go. So we do the signs like that, and we teach them the geography. And as I said, we do put them in chronological order. And the other Mark is going to come and tell us a story now and explain a little bit about how he put that into the timeline.
While I'm just talking to them from here, would you be able to change the timeline out? Brilliant. Right now, one of the things about Bible Explorer as well, and I've been doing it for about 8 years now, and I do Old Testament and New Testament, so I do them both. But you've got five lessons, effectively, in the Old Testament. So the first lesson is the whole of Genesis, the second lesson is the whole of Moses, third lesson you come into Joshua, and you work your way through. So you've got Joshua, you cover the Judges, which is 400 years of the Judges, and the thing is, you're taught all the signs, but you then put your lessons together, and you get lots of help and lots of ideas from other Bibles, from the people at the centre, from all through ministries. They'll give you lots of ideas, but effectively it's for you to get your own style within it. A lot of people will have similar ideas, so they'll say, oh, that was a great idea you used there, so I'll use that. But then you can develop some of your own as well, and you put your lesson together. What we're going to do is we're getting to the end of lesson three, and at the end of lesson three you find out that you've had 400 years of the Judges, and I probably would have talked about probably Deborah and Gideon. Why would I do that for Gideon? Anybody please? Great, brilliant. And Samson. Now, I won't cover all three stories. I tend to do Deborah and Gideon, and I just mention about Samson because there's not enough time to put everything into lessons. So you kind of choose what you feel, partly what you feel are the best stories to do, but you need to refer to everything. But also you need to look at your locally agreed syllabus to make sure that you're covering the things that the school needs to cover. So that's kind of the key. When you get to the end of lesson three, one of the things you do is you say, everyone did what was right in his own eyes, except, and you find out about a woman that didn't do what everybody else was doing, this cycle of sin, and it was Ruth. And then in the beginning of lesson four, you find out about a man who does the same. And that man is who? About S. Samuel. Samuel. And you've got those two. Now, at the point at which I'm coming in now, we've got our arms in the air because we've done about Samuel. And as we said, we can use PowerPoints and everything else. So I'm going to take a little bit of space here, and I want us to see if we can do some flags here. Anybody know what the first one is?
Sweden.
Anybody disagree with that? Anybody disagree with Sweden? Okay, that's fine. I'm quite happy with that. Yes, it's Sweden. And the second one? Oh, this one's really dear to my heart. I've spent 10 days in the country. I love it. So it's Kenya. Well done, you're very good, you're as good as the children. The third one, that's a good one, a cool one, this one. That's a very good, this country's really good at bobsleigh. Yeah, so we've got Jamaica on that one. And then the bottom one. Sorry?
UK.
United Kingdom. Now actually, sometimes I bring a big flag in, because that kind of helps us to get into the start of the next sign after Samuel in lesson four. So I want you to have your arms up in the air. I want to bring your hands together and say United Kingdom, and do some brackets because we're doing a time period, 120 years. Fantastic. And that's the stuff. It's got nothing to do with Great Britain or the United Kingdom, but it's kind of a remembrance thing. So, you know, so Israel was united for 120 years. Now we're going to do cross-curricular. Now I know some of you are going to start to get a bit of
Chris here. We've got the three kings. Just to fill in, the first one is the people's king. The second one we find out is God's chosen king. And the third one's going to be the king's king. Okay, so we'll find out a little bit more about that in time. Now, here's some things about Chris here. Good looking. What do you reckon? Yeah. Okay, here we go. Here's the next one. Strong. Show us your muscles. Okay, well, we can use some. Use your imagination. It's important lessons to use your imagination. Brave. You consider yourself brave? Okay, can we jump out the window? Okay, no. That would be stupid. Yeah. And a good fighter. You've got a reputation for being. No, just don't overplay your part, right? Okay, so we've done. I kind of do kind of a family fortunes type thing sometimes when I'm doing that, and it gets children involved and stuff. Now, this is the good bit. Now, I'm going to give you some stuff already here. Now, there's your crown. So you can have your crown. That's good. So sit that on. It's good because it fits. So it makes a change. Because it doesn't normally fit the children. Here's a bit of this is getting the right way around. And I usually have a throne set up with nice red cloth and stuff as well. So that's good. I've got a sword, but I haven't brought it with me. Now, Rebel's Challenge. Now, just bear with me. This is my favourite. I'm going to keep talking, but I don't want you looking because I'm thinking in transferring to here. I've got a slight problem with my Rebel's Challenge. Now, I'm going to play a competition against you. Now, you need to know that I have never lost this challenge. Ooh. In every school I've been in over 8 years, I have never lost this challenge. Now, it's very simple. What I'm going to do is I'm going to select some of you, and you need to point at a rebel, and you need to tell me what flavour it is. Now, I'm going to help you because it's either toffee, coffee, orange, or Malteser. If you get it right, you get to eat that half. If you get it wrong, I eat it, and I've never lost. I've had one draw in 8 years, so would you like to choose one? Don't touch it, you've just got to look at how it is. Which of those four you think it is? This is a chocolate, this one's cream chocolate. That's a Malteser. Now, I've deceived you on that coffee, so that's one to me. Because the Maltesers are always the bigger ones, aren't they? Now, it depends how you cut them. So. Children. Well, I'm not you out.
I have to be honest, I was wrong.
Is it different? Well, what's it? Is it orange?
It's Malteser.
Is it Malteser?
Oh,
you've been toffee there. You're right.
Yay!
This is why I work with children. I'm going to give one more. One more. Go on, John. Go on. Because otherwise we could be here all afternoon. You think that's Malteser? No, it's not toffee. That's very nice. So I do the Rebels Challenge. Now, the thing with the Rebels Challenge, what's the problem? Why is
wonderful. So it brings up some interesting things as well. And actually, by doing Bible Explorer, just coming to my head as I walked up here, gives you an opportunity to ask the children questions and get answers out of them that you wouldn't actually be allowed to say. But you can say, what a good idea, yeah. And it enables you to bring up points and get them thinking about things of God and maybe what God's like. You can just touch on it. Moving very swiftly forward, of course, after the kings comes the very complicated history of the exile, which we try and make very, very simple. It's a bit more geography because we teach them the ABPs, because you have Assyria, Babylonia, and Persia, and we talk about an exile, and some people teach about Daniel and psalm writing and things like that. But after that, of course, comes the return. And Ruth is going to teach us one of those stories that happens at that point in history. Thank you.
Okay, great. So I'm going to need you to help me out with this story. And at the end, you're going to need to guess the hand sign. So I'm telling you the story of Esther. And every time I say Esther, I need you to go, Queen. You'll practice that with me, Esther.
Queen.
Good, lovely. I like the intonation. And I'm going to tell you about a guy called Haman. And every time I say Haman, I need you to say, okay, so Haman. Okay, so there was a guy called Xerxes. He was the all kinds of stuff. There'll be some that we do where we'll just quite literally tell the story. But some like that where you can actually incorporate the hand sign into the story, which means that they say it like 70 times and then eventually they remember, oh yeah, Esther.
I'm not sure we've got time for Nehemiah, I'm afraid. Is that all right? Which is a bit of a shame. How quick are you going? Go on then, really quick. Go on then. And of course, one of the, almost the very last ones is the, and I do like this story particularly. That's lovely. I love that story. It's a rubber ball. It's brilliant. Okay. And of course, we do the New Testament as well. And you know, one of the things I find really, really amazing about that is we can teach the serious stuff in a way that isn't preachy, that means something to the children as well. I just find it absolutely amazing. I think at all 10 lessons, my favorite is the third in the New Testament, because that's when we teach about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what an opportunity it is to do that. And it's just amazing. You've got the children with the triumphal entry and the donkeys, and they're shouting and they're cheering and the temple and the noise. And then you sit them down quietly and just tell them what happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed. I'm going to put this one down, but when he prayed and then was betrayed and he was denied, crucified, and then resurrected. And every single time you can hear a pin drop as you talk them through those events. And it's just really spine-tingling amazing to do that. And when the Bible was taught in that way, and I think our presenters will agree, that the reaction of the children is absolutely amazing. I'll just very quickly get back into my... I'll just show you some... Here we go. So some of the reaction of the children, very, very quickly. The letters that sometimes presenters get, it's just living. So all in all, the lessons weren't a waste. You can see that it appeals to children of all abilities. This is why I use this as an illustration. Your teaching was fun because we didn't have to write. All we had to do is learn, that was all. So thank you for all you've done for us. Isn't that incredible? Another one. The way you told the incredible stories of the past got me to learn the fantastic facts of what the Bible is bursting with. Thank you for the effort you put in. this one, I laughed at this when I saw this in your office. Before you came, I thought RE was totally boring, but you have made RE really cool. I still think art's my number one best subject. It always will be. But RE may be coming second, I'm not sure. note about how many wives the king had. I particularly enjoyed it when you put on a funny voice when you was pretend to be someone else. I feel that I have learnt that because it doesn't matter how small or tall you are, you will always have God on your side. And that's just from telling the stories of the Bible. Incredible, isn't it? I just very, very quickly want to get these guys up here for a minute. Is that all right? Just ask you a question or two. Okay. Right, Mark, do you want to come here and share the mic with me? Otherwise,
yeah.
It might be in trouble. Okay. So how long have you been a presenter?
About 8 years. I was trying to work it out. It's very difficult. Some lessons I'd have 100. Some lessons it might only be about 15. But I reckon somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000.
I've had that Bible told to me in that way. That's fantastic. How do they normally react to Bible?
Yes! I think one of the fantastic things is a number of the schools that I've built up good relationships with, when the children, having had the first lesson and I'm coming in, and they say, oh, yes, Mark, is it Bible Explorer today? And just that enthusiasm and excitement as you're arriving to say, yes, fantastic, and can't wait. But it's not only the children, actually. I mean, it's the staff as well. And I've got regular schools that I go into, and to build the relationship with the school, I feel like one of their staff in a number of schools, and I've got some flagship schools in particular, and it's led to other things as well. So.
Just lead to other things. I've had quite a few assemblies from going to schools and doing Bible Explorer. Mark and Ruth, you trained fairly recently, didn't you?
Yeah. Should we come over?
Yeah. Rest this. They're on training course with us in September. Have you found it so far?
Yeah, really good. Yeah. So we've been, 4 months?
Yeah.
Do you think
it's helped your Bible knowledge in any way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have to say that I kind of didn't really want to do the Bible Explorer training. So there's someone that we work with who's kind of, I guess we would say, she's our boss. So she's raved on it for ages. And I remember way back when I said I wanted to do it. And then when I joined the schools team that we're part of, I was like, really, I'm not going to do that. She's not going to. That's not me. I'm a youth worker, not really a schools worker at all. It's primary school. But I love it. Mm. And because we do so much other stuff as well, it's really helped us to... Yeah, learn to tell stories again in different ways and be creative in the different things that we do. And so it's worked both ways, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, my house group, they really annoy me now because there's two of us that are trained Bible Explorer presenters in the house group. And every time something comes up, I'm like, oh, yes, we learned about this at Bible Explorer training. And they're like, yeah, okay. But yeah, it really has helped. It's just great.
Thank you very much.
Can I just say as well, from a personal point of view, I have been for a while passionate about Bible Overview. And those of you that have known me for a few years here and have maybe had a chance to talk to me, I am passionate about Bible Overview. This is a fantastic resource for the children. It's a fantastic resource for schools. It's also a fantastic resource for you. I now find I use my Bible Explorer Overview as a model for doing other things. I run a Bible study group for 8-year-old to 11-year-old boys called Dangerous Boys Bible Study. And I've done a whole, I'm taking them through the whole of the Bible, but I'm using the structure of Bible Explorer to help me, so I've got it in my head all the time of where things fit. And you can tell me, you can throw any story at me, and this is not a boast, but you can throw any story at me and I'll tell you where it is because of the Bible's books, the framework of the Bible Explorer. So it's a massive help for you as well if you're able to do that.
Thank you, it is, yeah. So that's about Bible Explorer, really. As Mott just said, we do offer training. There are two ways to train. You can either come with us for a residential course, which takes 4 days, or if there's a trainer in your area, you can go along to their presentations with them. And obviously, because a whole Old Testament presentation takes 5 one-hour sessions, and you normally do one a week, it will take you 5 weeks to train that way. The cost depends on whether you do it that way or residentially, whether you provide us with the centre and somewhere to stay, or whether we have to sort that out. But if you want to know more, Mark and I are staying here anyway for the rest of the course, so, please do come and talk to us. Thank you, Ruth and Mark. I know you've got to rush off afterwards. But very quickly before we go, I think we've got about 4 minutes. Do we have any questions you want to ask before we go? Yes. Yeah, sorry, I should go that. Yeah, it is geared towards years 5 and 6, just because of the level of learning and so on. So we say years 5 and 6 in primary school, and as I say, it takes 5 one-hour sessions. It's offered free. We offer it as a free resource to primary schools. We do say in our letter that we write to them to say thank you for having us, that if they want to give a donation, they can, but we make it very clear that is a voluntary donation. They don't have to because if we offer it free, that means that it's more, we're more likely to get into schools. So because we teach it in schools, we don't teach it in churches. It's not taught anywhere outside of schools, because if the schools found out it was being taught in churches, they wouldn't have it. And as we said at the start, the schools are where the children are, really, and that's where we need to go to be to get the most of them. I think that's it, really. Yeah, and it does really make your Bible knowledge amazing and help it. I won't say it's amazing, but it does help it. Yeah. Anything else?
The Old Testament is 5 and the New Testament is also 5.
Yes.
It
entirely depends on the setup. I personally live in a very rural area, so most of the schools I go into don't have enough children in each year to do years 5 and 6 individually. So I do 5 and 6 together. So in 1 year I'm there doing the Old Testament, the following year I'm doing the New Testament. So some of them will get the New Testament first, some of them will get the Old Testament. Other presenters have the fortunate position of being able to do Old Testament in year 5, go back and do New Testament in year 6, which makes more sense, obviously. It just depends on your circumstances.
Yeah,
do you want to say something on that?
If a school is asking for advice on it, I tend to say do year 5 Old Testament and year 6 New Testament. But I've just been in a school where I'm in the process now of doing year 5 and 6 together. Before Christmas, I did the Old Testament, and with year 5 and 6, I'm doing the New Testament at the moment, so I'm halfway through. So and it can vary. It's flexible.
It is, yeah. Yes, well, it is. I mean, the very last sign in the Old Testament is Christ. And at that point, you can say, I tend to say, and then there's 400 years of silence when God doesn't seem to speak to anyone. But then comes the best story of all, and who do you think that's about? And just mention it that way. I know some presenters do try to work it in other places, but I just leave it at that. I don't know if anyone's got anything different. I think really the best answer to that is to say that, as we've all said, that through doing Bible Explorer, we've just been given those other opportunities to go in and take assemblies, take lessons, when you can talk about Jesus, which is, you know, really wonderful. So, yeah. Yeah, we advertise it as an educational resource for them, where we provide the presenter to go in and teach this to them. We have a little sort of summary sheet which shows what we teach, and we advise our presenters to go away and look at their local syllabus, because I don't know if you know, but the RE syllabus is not a national syllabus, it's for each LEA. And you can make the lessons fit the syllabus. For example, in Essex, where I come from, there's an awful lot of Judaism, Passover, Sukkot, all those sort of things, Shavuot, all the festivals, so we make sure that that's included and things like that. So, okay.
It has also been Ofsted at Exeter, so it's got an Ofsted mark.
It's been watched quite a few times, yeah. Been watched quite a few times in Ofsted. Okay.
Do you come to Wales?
We have quite a lot of presenters in Wales, actually, but we're always looking for more. But there's some very good trainers over in Wales, so, yeah. Some do it in Welsh. We have Welsh worksheets, and we have Welsh letters to go into school, so we're prepared for the Welsh. So, yeah. Yes, we have presenters in Manchester. In fact, we have a training course in Manchester in May. So there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, I think our time is up, and I can see Trevor hovering outside, so we better pack up. But as I say, if you've got any more questions, please do speak to Mark and myself, and thank you very much.
Thank you.